Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
I am glad to be here. My name is TJ Goff. I'm the worship pastor, and I'm much more comfortable singing than I am speaking, so get ready. Normally, if it's your first time here, I'd be singing and someone else would be talking, but today I was asked to speak, and I appreciate Trey asking me to speak. Last time, it took 10 years, so I had 10 years to prepare my sermon. This time, I only got a year, so it'll be one-tenth as good, but it'll be twice as long, so don't worry. Just kidding. But, you know, I want to thank a couple people. Being in my position, I work with a lot of people that are behind the scenes and that maybe you don't get to hear about or and we don't thank as often. So to start out, I just want to thank some of our production team. They're back here. We got guys and girls back here running lights, sound, graphics. We've got some guys and girls back in the back who are making sure that you can see things online, that you can watch the videos when you're out, that it's streaming for you. And anybody joining us streaming today, we're glad to have you, but we want you to come here next week. So be here if you're in town. We are glad that you're here. And I want to thank Trey also for asking me to speak. It is truly an honor to be up here. Happy Father's Day. Yeah, dads. Happy Father's Day. That might be all you get, dads. That might be it. I don't know how your family works, but sometimes it's not as big as Mother's Day, I've noticed, but moms are better, let's be honest. But I wanted to start out with some sage wisdom that Trey gave me when we first decided to move from California to South Carolina to help start Wellspring almost 10 years ago in November. We were talking about what it was going to take, what it was going to be like here. And what he told me is something that stuck with me, maybe even haunted me a little bit. Over the years, and he said this in week one, so if you're here for week one of Summer Fitness Challenge, then you know what he said. He said, TJ, it's different at the beach than it is anywhere else. When you're leading, when you're in ministry, when you're at a church, at the beach, it's different. And what makes it different is the people who come to your church will see you with your shirt off. That's right. You go to Middle America, you go to Nebraska, nobody's seeing their pastor with their shirt off, but here, I mean, yesterday, seriously, we went to Wildwater and Wheels. It was an awesome time. I was walking around with my shirt off the whole time talking to people from the church. Nowhere else. That doesn't happen anywhere else. But that happened. That happens when you work at the beach. So that was some wisdom that I needed because let me tell you, we came here from California, but it wasn't like 80 degrees sunny surfing California. This was Northern California. And I don't know if you know about Northern California, but it kind of stays like 60 degrees. You can dress like this all the time. And it's June, and I'm dressed like this, so I do it anyway. But you can dress like this all the time, except maybe 1 month out of the year where it gets hot. But it's always cool. And so, you kind of dress in layers. You don't worry too much about what's underneath the layers because nobody's ever going to see it. I could count on my hand the number of times I jumped in a pool when we were in California. And I can count on no hands the number of times I jumped into the ocean because I didn't do it. It was freezing. It was like 12 degrees there. So you never get in the ocean. You hardly ever get in a pool. It doesn't matter what you look like under your clothes. And that's what Trey was trying to tell me is like, hey, get your act together, dude. You look terrible. That's what he was saying. Over the years in California, I had developed what some people refer to as a dad bod. Anybody familiar with the dad bod? Anybody have the dad bod? I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you're afflicted with that. But the dad bod, a few years ago kind of got popular. I think there was a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio at the beach. And, he wasn't looking all ripped or anything. He was just kind of like normal, like a normal dude. And, I mean, it really is. It's kind of sad because it's got like a negative connotation. But it's really just like you're normal. You're not like, 4% body fat. But I had the dad bod. And I was 27 years old. And we were moving to the beach. And so I knew I had to do something about it because I didn't want people being like, ugh. That worship pastor, dad bod. Some dad bod worship up here. So we moved to the beach and basically Trey was telling me I was fat and I needed to work out. So how this happens, dad bod, by the way, how this happens is, maybe you don't work out as much as you should. Maybe you don't eat exactly what you should. I have what doctors refer to as an Oreo addiction. Here's a picture of me. This was on my birthday. My wife bought me every flavor of Oreos for my birthday. There's a lot of Oreos there. And I ate them all in a week. I have a problem, you guys. I'm serious. They actually say that Oreos are, like, more addictive than cocaine. So I think I actually did have a problem. And I see it. I feel like I said this last time I preached, but I see it as my mission as a dad and as the leader of my household to eradicate the entire house of all cookies. Now, I don't throw them away because that's wasteful. So I eat them. And that's how dad bod happens, is you kind of don't watch what you're eating. You don't maybe work out as much as you should. And you kind of get to where you're like, you know what? I'm okay. Like, I'm not the best. I don't look the best, but it's all right. I'm okay. You know, you kind of get a little complacent. You know, you don't want to put forth the effort that it's really going to take to really get looking good. And so you get that dad bod. And, you know, what I used to say is, you know, I work out so I can eat as much as I want. Well, when you're 27, that works. But when you're 37, not so much. So, you know, still fighting that dad bod. And if everybody, you know, anybody out there fighting that dad bod with me, I feel you, you know. We're in this together. So, but what does this have to do with, you know, spirituality? What does this have to do with God? What does this have to do with our relationship with Jesus? I believe that there's something that I like to call spiritual dad bod. Spiritual dad bod. I think, you know, you might be able to relate to that. Maybe, you know, you've gotten to the place in your life where you're like, you know, I go to church. I do some stuff. I believe in Jesus. I think I'm good. You know, I think we got it. You kind of got your fire insurance. You know where you're going when you die. I'm fine. You know, I don't really want to put forth any more effort than what I'm doing because I got other stuff to do. I've got kids. We've got activities. I've got leisure stuff I want to do. I like to play golf. I like to go to the beach, whatever it is. And so you're like, you know, I've gotten there. I think I'm cool. I think I'm fine. It's spiritual complacency. And the problem with spiritual complacency is just like the problem with stopping your workout routine or with eating terrible foods for you. The problem is that if you're not moving forward spiritually, just like with your workouts, if you're not moving forward, you're eventually going to start moving backwards. There's not a place where you can stick and stay spiritually and be like, I'm done. Just like you can't go work out one day and be like, hey, I did a workout. Mark that off my list. I'm done. I'm not going back. Never have to do that again. I've done it. We're good. It's the same thing. It's that feeling of I've made it, and I don't need to do any more, and I think I'm good. Well, if anybody could you know, feel that way spiritually, if anybody that in history could feel that way, it's Paul. Last week, Eric talked about Paul's conversion and how he was struck blind and convicted of what he was doing. He had been persecuting Christians. As a Jewish leader, he had gone and he had literally killed Christians, but he had this conversion experience, this incredible, like, imagine this guy walking up and be like, I'm going to give a testimony. I mean, people would just be, I give up. It's it, you know? Jesus. Only one way that could happen. And he became the greatest evangelist ever after being someone who was killing Christians. So if anybody could say, look, I've made it. I have turned my life around. I have gotten to, I'm it. He wrote countless books of the Bible. We talk about him all the time here. But in Philippians chapter 3, he has this to say. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possesses me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. He presses on to the end of the race. He doesn't stop. He's not achieved the goal. And how do we keep from feeling like, you know, like how do we keep pushing onto that goal? How do we keep pressing on? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to know the goal. You have to know what the goal is. You can't start a race and not know where you're going. You can't start a game and not know what it takes to win. You know, somebody gives you a ball and just says, here you go. What are you going to do with it? You've got to know what the goal is. You've got to know what you're trying to do, what you're pressing on towards. And so for us as you know, as believers or as people who are seeking God, who maybe you're not quite a believer yet, you don't know Jesus quite yet, but you're kind of trying to figure this whole thing out, and you know there's something missing in your life. There's something that's not quite right. Well, what's the goal? You know, for us believers, for Christians, what are we trying to accomplish here? What are we trying to do? Is it, you know, just coming to church every Sunday, like perfect attendance? Is it, you know, maybe joining some kind of a group or singing on Sunday? What is the goal? Well, for us, the goal is being more and more like Jesus. And I know that's kind of a crummy answer, because that sounds like the answer, like, I don't know, I grew up in, like, Sunday school. I don't know if you grew up in Sunday school, but there was always that one kid, and they'd ask a question, very specific question, and that one kid would always raise his hand and go, God? It's like, yeah, God's the answer. Okay, can you be more specific? Jesus? Yes, good job. Way to go. But, that's the kind of answer I'm giving you here. It's like, oh, well, here you go. Be more like Jesus. Let's pray. See y'all next Sunday. Like, that's not, it doesn't feel helpful. Because it feels like I'm giving you something that, you know, maybe can't be achieved. Well, I'm sorry to say, it can't be achieved. On this earth, you will never finish. You will never get to that goal where you are just like Jesus, where you are perfect. But you can keep going and keep trying and keep pushing and keep pressing on towards that goal. And you're not going to achieve it, just like Paul said. Not that I've achieved it, but I keep pressing on toward that goal. But I'll tell you this. If you want to be like Jesus, then you got to know what Jesus is like. And that means you have to learn from him. You have to learn from the scriptures. You don't just read them to mark them off a list and to check off. Now, maybe some of you have been doing the Summer Fitness Challenge, where you get your emails every week and every day, and you can read those passages that we put in, and you can answer those questions, and that's great. And we encourage you to do that if you haven't. You know, go to, I think it's Summer Fitness Challenge or wellspringchurch.tv/fitness, I believe. Go there, sign up. It's awesome. But it's not enough to just read. It's not enough to just answer the questions. You have to learn about Jesus and who he is, learn about God and who he is. And the reason we do that is because if you know what Jesus is like, then you also know what Jesus is not like. And so you can discern, is this right? Is this what God wants? Because Jesus would never do that. So is this what God wants? No, it's not what God wants. But we have to know Jesus. We have to be more like Jesus. But like I said, you're never done. You're not going to be finished. And that sounds bad. That sounds like, you know, something that you walk out of the building and you're, you know, head down because we're never going to be done. We're never going to finish. But let me tell you what. In CrossFit, anybody do CrossFit? Anybody? No. No one does CrossFit. You're all invited. Tomorrow, 5:30. I'll be there. You come. CrossFit. I do CrossFit every day. We get up 5:30. We meet. It's a group of guys. It's fun. And girls. And we have a great time. But in CrossFit, we say something, and it can be discouraging for sure. We have a saying, but it's also encouraging. And the saying is, it never gets easier, just faster and heavier. And what does that mean? It means that when you do CrossFit, it's never going to be easier, because we do the same workouts. Like we'll do, like if I do a workout on, you know, January 4th, I might redo that workout on, you know, June 20th, and I kind of compare. But it's not going to get easier, because if it starts to get easier, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add weight. I'm going to lift more, or I'm going to try to beat my time. I'm going to run faster, whatever it is. CrossFit's like, I don't know, I've heard people call it like workout competitions, competitive workouts. So you're basically just racing yourself. You're racing your teammates and your friends and whatever, and you're getting heavier and you're getting faster, but it doesn't get easier. My wife actually gave me a quote. She does, how about this? Does anybody do Peloton? Nobody. You guys are There's one. I see one in the back. You guys got to start working out. Serious. Get some dad bod out there if y'all don't hit it. But my wife does the Peloton app where basically she goes upstairs in the morning. When I go to CrossFit, you know, we don't want to leave our kids alone. So she goes upstairs and she works out it's a bike. It's like one of those, you know, spin bike type deals. And she jumps on the spin bike and she turns up the TV as loud as possible. It's like 6 o'clock. My kids are trying to sleep, you know, because they got to get up and go to school. But she doesn't care. She doesn't care. They'll come in the room. They're like, Mom, please turn that down. I'm trying to sleep. She's like, get out. It's got to be loud. And so these guys are yelling at her, and girls who lead these things, they're yelling at her, and they're saying, and here's one of the quotes that this one guy that she told me says. He says, if you're not struggling, you're not hustling. So as a believer, think about that. What does that mean? If you're not struggling, you're not hustling. If there's not some kind of pushback, like if you're just breezing through and you're like, man, this Christianity stuff, this is easy. You know, not everybody likes me, no problems, you know. Not struggling at all. It's super easy. Well, maybe you ought to think about what's happening. Because if you're not struggling, you're probably not hustling. If you're not ruffling somebody's feathers, if somebody's not pushing back on you, if they're not asking you, like, why are you so weird? I mean, we're weird, be honest. But if they're not asking you that, if they're not saying, hey, you know, something's different about you, then maybe you're not hustling. And so with our goal to be like Jesus, I mean, think about this. Like, Jesus had a lot of pushback. Jesus was, you know, had governments going against him. He had whole religions going against him. People trying to, you know, crucifying him. And eventually they did. There was pushback. He was struggling. And he was struggling because he was hustling. So a few weeks ago, we did this workout. It's called a Memorial Day Murph. And since all of you are super lazy, I know none of you did it. I'm just kidding. But we did a Memorial Day Murph, and a Memorial Day Murph, it's like this workout. We do these things in CrossFit where we honor like fallen soldiers and fallen police officers and firefighters. And so we did a Memorial Day Murph, and Murph was this Marine, and you've seen the story if you've seen the movie Lone Survivor. He wasn't the Mark Wahlberg character, but he was the guy who Riggins played, you know, Riggins from Friday Night Lights. And he was a Marine. They were ambushed, if you've seen the movie. If you haven't, you should watch it. But this workout is named after him because this is one of his favorites. This is what he would do because it was kind of an easy thing to do even when you're stationed out in Afghanistan or wherever you were. And the workout is a tough one. And it's this. Here's the workout, I'll tell you. You run a mile. Then you come back and you do 100 pull-ups. Then you do 200 push-ups. Then you do 300 squats. Then you run another mile. And that's the workout. And it's not easy. It's hard. And people, you know, they start out and they're like, yeah, this is good. And they run back in and, oh, my gosh. And, I mean, seriously, it's not for the faint of heart. I've seen people. I've actually, on a couple of occasions, like, gone back out because I thought somebody might have died. Like, because they were taking forever. And I was like, oh, no. But there's weight. We have, in CrossFit, we have what's called RX, and then we have scaled. So RX is the prescribed workout, like done as it's written, as like the, you know, the biggest guys and girls do. And then you have scaled, which is, you know, for us normal people. And I like to do Murph RX. And I've kind of always done Murph RX. Well, to do Murph RX, you have to do the mile, you do the push-ups, pull-ups, squats, another mile, all that stuff. But you also have to have this. Because Murph, I told you he was a Marine. And Murph, when he went out running, he would wear a flak jacket. And it was 20 pounds. And so to do the RX, you have to use a 20-pound weight vest. And I think it's 15 for women, but it's 20 for men. And I like to do it RX because I don't know if you know this about me. Few people know this about me. I'm like super competitive. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm like a good athlete necessarily. You know, like, I'm pretty good at basketball, like, except for the whole shooting the ball into the goal thing. That guy knows what I'm talking about. You know, I'm pretty good at stuff. Like, I'm sort of a good athlete, but it's, like, not great. But I'm super competitive. Like, ping pong, tiddlywinks, cards, I don't care. Like, I'm going to do whatever I can to win. I'm actually, when I used to help with students, we'd do these games, and I was well-known for being a cheater. But I didn't really cheat. It was like they didn't make the rule, so I just did, you know, there's no rule against it. That's not cheating, right? But, you know, they say if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So, but I was, yeah, so I'm very competitive. I like to win. You know, so I wear the vest. Because here's a little you know, tip for if you ever do Murph. If there's only one vest, then whoever wears the vest, no matter how fast or slow they go, they win. They win because they did it RX. And everybody else, you just look at them and you go, nope, your time doesn't count. You didn't do it RX, sorry. And that's kind of what I do. But I like to wear the vest because I like to push myself. I like to challenge myself. I like to be competitive. And so I wear the vest. And some of you today have come into this place and you think, you know what? I've got this figured out. It's not that hard. You know, we've gotten into a real nice groove here with our spiritual walk with Jesus. You know, we come to church every Sunday. We pray before our meals. It's pretty easy. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's time to put on the vest. It's time to put on the vest, guys. Wherever you are, whether it's, you know, this is your third time to come to church in your life, if you've been here for 30 years, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, you've got to put that vest on. You've got to push yourself. You've got to challenge yourself. Because if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. And our goal is to be more like Jesus. So to be more like Jesus, we have to learn more about Jesus. We have to speak more to Jesus. We have to understand who Jesus is so that we can be Jesus to a lost world. Because you know what? It doesn't end. It never ends because there's never going to be a time where there's not a person out there who needs to hear about Jesus Christ. There's never going to be a time where you're not needed to go out and to tell your friends who he is. It never ends. It's an ongoing race. And as you get that next level, then you got to go to the next level and then the next level. And sometimes it's hard, but that's what we're called to do. Now, to make a long story even longer, I mean short, I don't know if you remember Memorial Day, but on Memorial Day, it rained like crazy. It was like, I think right before I pulled up, like to where we were doing it, like it popped up on my phone, like aerial flood warning starting now. I was like, oh, cool. And so I had this vest on and I'm running and like, you know, just the first mile, my eyes are like full of water. You know, your clothes are completely drenched. You're running through puddles and all this stuff. And it was pretty miserable. And then you had to go do the pull-ups and the push-ups and the squats. And I was struggling because I was, you know, 20-pound weight vest plus 20-pound water weight from all the rain. And so I was struggling. And then I had to go back out and run again. And like I told you, you know, you start out real excited and you come back in and you're just limping and you're dragging yourself back in. And that's how I felt. And I'll be honest with you, you know, it was like a couple of years ago, my wife got me those Oreos, but I'm pretty sure they made me slower that day. I was as heavy as I'd been in a while. I had the vest on and I was running so slowly. I was struggling so much. I was struggling on the squats. I was struggling on the push-ups. It felt like just a beating. But you know what? I kept going. I kept pushing myself. And when I ran into that door and everybody else who had already finished, because everybody else had already finished, but they didn't have vests on, don't worry. But when I ran through that door, they were congratulating me on pushing myself. And it was miserable. And I was tired and my muscles were achy. But you know what happened? That next day, I got up and I went and worked out again because you're never done. You're never finished. So sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes God's going to call you to something that's harder than what you thought it was going to be. Or maybe, you know, you've got that, you know, person that you work with who they just really, really don't like church. They really don't like Christians, and probably for a good reason, and it's hard. It's hard, but you know what? You keep going. You keep pressing on. You keep pushing forward. This is an ongoing thing in the race doesn't end on earth. The race ends at the feet of our Heavenly Father when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we push on towards. That's our goal. So what do? You have to first, you've got to determine where you are in the race. You know, have you just started? What's your next step? If you just started going to church. You know, what do I need to do next? Or maybe you've been, you know, going for a while. Maybe you've already joined a community group. Maybe you've already, you know, you're tithing. You know, you come here every Sunday. You know, maybe, but the question is, you know, no matter where you are in the race, are you going to keep pushing on? Are you going to keep pressing on? Are you going to quit in the middle like one of those half marathoners? Put their 13.1 stickers in there. You're basically saying you quit. I'm kidding. I ran a half marathon one time. I don't have a sticker, though. You know, are you going to quit in the middle? Are you going to stop? Are you going to go on to that goal? We're all at different points of the race. But we have to decide, am I okay with the spiritual dad bod, or do I want to push on? Am I okay with running the race the easy way, or do I want to put that vest on? Do I want to challenge myself? Do I want to push myself? Do I want to press on toward the goal? Are you okay with just living your life and just kind of being there, or do you want to make a difference in other people's lives? I have a lot of stories. That's kind of what I do. I like to tell stories. And a couple of months ago, my wife, her job, she works at Grand Strand, and her job, the company, they actually have this screening, and they do it like for the families, and you go in and they take blood and they tell you, here's all the things that are wrong with you. And so they took blood, and you know, we waited a couple months and they sent us back the readout on all the, like, just myriad of things that they had, you know, tested for. And I got down, everything was normal. Super above normal, whatever it was. But I got to this one spot and I was perplexed. I couldn't believe it. I had high cholesterol. And I thought to myself, what am I doing all this for? Why am I waking up at 4:45 and working out at 5:30 and pushing myself and wearing 20-pound vests? Why am I doing all this if I'm going to end up just like the guy who sits on his rear end at his house and wakes up at 10 o'clock in the morning and doesn't do anything? And why am I doing it? What's the point? But I had to look inside. I had to kind of reevaluate and go, well, why do I have high cholesterol? Well, Oreo cookies. You know, sometimes my kids will be like, hey, Dad, didn't we have some chips? I'm like, nope. Never had any chips. There were no chips. You didn't see any chips. My diet is terrible. I'll eat whatever's in there. Now, I will say this, I blame my wife, because if she buys good stuff, I'd eat that. But she doesn't. She buys Doritos or whatever, and I'm going to eat it. I'm just going to eat, and I get bored and I eat, and I'm sitting around and I'll eat and whatever, and I have a terrible diet. And so it resulted in this high cholesterol because I have bad habits. Because I don't have that self-control. I wasn't really pushing myself in that area. And I, you know, like I said, it works. You can eat whatever you want when you're young, but once you start to get older, it starts to catch up with you. So keep that in mind, young people. I sound like an old man. Keep that in mind. But have you reached the point to where you're just kind of okay with those bad habits? Like, yeah, I do that. It's not great. But I'm okay with it. You know, I'm okay with that dad bod. If I get to eat chips, it's fine. Well, here's some hope that we have from Paul, especially us cookie and chip eaters. Philippians 3, verse 20 says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak and mortal, and might I add, cookie-eating bodies, and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. You see, what's happening is we're living like we're citizens here. And we have these bad habits because these bad habits have these, you know, like this quick, you know, like gratification. If I eat this cookie now, it tastes good. But as Trey also told me one time when I kind of made me want to slap him, but he said, moment on the lips, forever on the hips. Like, what dude says that to another dude? It's like, sassy pastor. But we live like this is what it's for. We live like we're here for earth. But we've got eternity in heaven. We are citizens not of earth. We are citizens of heaven. And so what we do needs to be for eternity. So instead of indulging in those bad habits, whatever's keeping us from God, whatever's keeping us from taking that next step forward, we need to think about, what does God want from us? How do we reach the goal? How do we know Jesus more? How do we get past, you know, where we are now, the plateau that we're on now, and push on? How do we press on towards that goal? And so I want to tell you, here's how we press on. Here's how we move on towards the goal. We ask ourselves a few questions. How do we get to the next level? Well, I've got three questions for you to ask yourself. Number one, what do I love doing? What do you love doing? Like, ask yourself, like, there's so many stories of people, you know, and I always find them weird because there's like a story like, you know, hey, this guy, like, you know, I hated kids and I never wanted to be around them, but God called me to children's ministry. And I'm like, no, do not go there. Don't send that guy there. He said he hated kids. Don't ever send him there. That's not how God works. Or people say, you know, well, I don't want to do what God's called me to do because I'm afraid he'll send me, you know, to out into the bush in Africa and I'll have to live in a tent or a hut and I don't want to do that. That's not how it works, you guys. You've got to ask yourself, what do I love doing? Because God has put something in you that you would do for free, that you love doing, that you can't live without doing. He's put that in you for a reason, because he wants to make a difference. He wants you to make a difference. Like I said, I love competing. I like to compete. So I don't go, you know, I don't go run by myself long distances for working out, because that doesn't work. I don't like doing that. If you don't like doing something, you're not going to keep doing it. But if you do something that you love, you know, if you go and you have workout competition every morning, then you're going to do it. You're going to stick with it. Same thing for God. He doesn't want you doing something that you hate. So what do you like doing? What are you passionate about? What would you do for free? I would lead worship for free. When I was in Texas, I was just playing the guitar and singing backup, and I was miserable. Now, it was great. The church was great. But I was at Keystone where Eric and Trey were. They were on staff, and I was just in the band. And I knew I needed to do more. And so I had to move on. I had to go somewhere else. I had to go where I could lead. And that was because God had called me to do that. God had put that in me. So what would you do if it was for free, if no one paid you? Don't tell Trey that I would do that for free, but I would. I will not answer emails for free. Second question, who can help you? Who can help you? We need community. Jesus had community. He had his disciples. We have church here. This is a community. And that's why I said, if you're online watching now, get here. You need to be in community. Community groups, we have them. If you need to sign up for a community group, do that. God wants you in community. Serving. Serving is every week you see people that will hold you accountable. When you work out, it's a lot easier when you've got people texting you when you don't show up. It's a lot easier when you've got people making fun of you because you can't squat all the way down because you're like the least flexible person in Myrtle Beach. It's easier to do that when people are holding you accountable. So find that community. But today I want to especially focus on one thing, and because I believe that we're all called. God has called us all. And it may not be to work at a church. It may not be to be a missionary, but God has called you to a ministry. So the last question that I want you to ask is, who can I help? Who has God called you to? Who has God given you a burden for? Who could you help? Because God has given all of us a ministry. If you're a dad today, it's Father's Day, so let's just take dads for instance. If you're a dad, your first ministry is to your family, to your kids, to raise them so that they're moving towards Jesus and they're pressing on towards that goal. And so what does that mean for you? That means not having to be dragged to church every Sunday for sure. That means being willing to pray with your kids and lead them. But God has called us all to a ministry. There is something, someone that you can make a difference in. And it might not be 100 people, but that's okay. Because God has called you to your specific ministry. To people who are lost. To people who are empty inside. So ask yourself, who can I help? What do I love doing? Who do I need to surround myself with so that I can be encouraged to do what God has called me to do? There's such a big, much bigger plan for you than what you imagine. We look at ourselves and we say, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I can't do that. And you're right. But you do what you can do, and then you let God do the rest. He has equipped you. He has called you to a personal ministry to make his name great, to make him known. And it's not easy. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. Because the problem is when you start doing what God has called you to do and you start getting at the front of that race and you're one of the leaders now, well, guess what? When you're lagging behind and you're not going to finish or you're just sitting there or you're done, whatever, the enemy doesn't care. He's not going to try to trip you up. He's not going to try to stop you from finishing that race. But when you're leading, when you're in the front of that race, when you're going on, pressing on towards that goal, he's going to want to neutralize you. He wants to get you back to complacent. He wants to get you back to that dad bod instead of making a difference for him. And so it's not easy. I'll tell you that right now. It will stretch you. It'll get you out of your comfort zone. But you have to ask yourself, is it more important that I'm comfortable? Is it more important that I'm just kind of okay? Or do you want to make a difference for Jesus Christ? Make a difference in others' lives. God has called you to the next level. And you're not going to be okay until you follow him. Now I want to invite you, if you feel like God's calling you to something, we have a prayer team. They're down here every week.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.
Joining a serve team, I want to just come down, pray with them about it. I'll tell you this, though. The prayer is not necessarily about the calling, because if you feel it, if you feel that urge, that's what it is, because that's what God wants for us. He wants us to do these things. So if you feel that urge, he's called. So you're not praying about whether or not he's called. You're praying about what's the next step. What do I do? How do I follow God's calling in my life? So as we sing this song, I want you to come down, pray with the prayer team, and commit yourself. We're going to push on. We're going to press on. We're going to put that vest on. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much that you love us enough, God, to not allow us to stick and stay. To not allow us to get complacent, God. And we pray that we will fight against that, God, that we will make a difference for you, God. God, we ask that you will show us what our mission is, God. Show us what you've called us to do, God, and just give us the wisdom and the faith to step out, God. Lead us, God, to where we have to trust in you only. To where our faith is what we rely on, not on what we can see or what we can hear or what we can touch, God, but the faith that you have called us and you have equipped us and that you love us and you want us to succeed. God, help us step out of that boat, onto that water, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.